Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hypothetical.
What's up, everybody? This is Nintendo Voice Chat, or as we like to call it now, Super NVC.
Super Psychic NVC.
Yeah, and we're going to be watching a Nintendo Direct conference and talking about today. It's a big one. It just aired 2 days ago, was it now?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
It feels like it.
It's basically every Nintendo announcement for the year was announced.
Yeah, Megaton. That is the much fabled Megaton. We had to wait about a decade for it, but then Nintendo
finally
got it.
Enjoy, guys. E3's not going to be this good.
As the internet well knows now, there's three psychics in this room here.
Myself,
Samuel Claiborne, Richard George.
Yep.
Brian Altano.
Someone else is in the room with us, but who cares?
And a special guest,
a
normal.
Just take my leave, then. You write all that stuff yourself, Rich. Good luck.
Special guest.
So Audrey. What I'm referring to is that before this conference, we did a podcast last week, and we talked a lot about an HD Zelda Wind Waker remake. We talked a lot about how Nintendo needs to just kind of tell us what's coming out
put
so we
can
be excited about it.
For
put all the cards in the table.
And I think we even
and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, we explicitly said, like, just say some games are coming. You don't even actually need to show them yet. Just
we said
say
Iwata
it.
Was going
to
wear a blue tie with stripes on it.
Totally.
Called it.
Yeah.
Suit, called it.
He'd appear back in the school gym.
Talk about the Wii U, called it.
Yeah, exactly.
After 3 years of you guys being wrong, it was about time.
We have a. You have to be right once, right?
Yeah.
You guys have to. For a Nintendo Nation, we got to get an all-white background. Nintendo Nation's, by the way, a new
show. The infinity of Nintendo
Nation. You
know
what we need to do? We need to just go find some high school and record in their gym and be like, hello,
just
everyone.
Just while they're playing softball
here
in the background.
Yeah, and all the students are like, what? Like, this is our sound stage.
This is the plan.
I don't know. Let's see. What are everybody's general thoughts before you get into the details? We'll start talking about very specific things as they're shown in the Direct. But
I was a little surprised at all the negativity surrounding this. I mean, this is obviously exactly what at least three of us, probably Audrey too, wanted to see. Exactly.
Yeah, totally. I think
I mean, especially with HD Zelda. But then I saw a lot of criticism about how this is Nintendo just kind of
or something
just
like
desperately
that.
Saying, like, we have stuff coming out.
It's one
like,
of those things. No matter what a company like Nintendo does, they can't win. Like, if they show all this stuff, people are like, oh, well, why are you showing me these games that aren't coming out soon? And if they don't, people are like, well, why don't you just mention Mario and Zelda?
I read this sad, sad article, like, just, like, slamming Nintendo for, like, hyping vaporware, which is hilarious.
Right.
Vaporware is stuff that doesn't show up after you've been talking about it for years and years and years. And I'm just sitting here going, like, well, what do you want? Do you want them to not say anything?
Show up and give them a bad rabbit cupcake.
I know.
That would do it.
That's Chris Kohler's article from Wired, and like that's he has a point. It is vaporware, technically.
See, to me, vaporware is like when you
it
say
is what I wanted to hear. So I that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, like when you have nothing, say something. You know, like
it's like if it's like a dude who has 25 albums out. It's like I'm working on a new album, and you're like bullshit.
Yeah,
like, no, he puts out that album every year. Why would you think this isn't happening? Don't worry about it.
And
it's going to happen.
Be angry about it. Like if I hear about a new album coming out from an artist I enjoy,
awesome.
I'm like, oh, cool. That's cool.
Exactly.
I look forward to hearing more about your album.
Well, or about an HD Zelda remake coming out this year.
That would be the best album of all.
The reason is everybody in this industry cares more about playing the game of speculation than they do playing actual video games.
Sure.
So they go, the magic.
But only three people are really good at that.
Exactly. And
let's remember the E3 results for the past
few
years,
Everyone's sitting
guys.
There going, you know, when Sony and Microsoft announced their things, it's going to blow the, and it might blow the lid off of something, but it's going to be another video game console with a lot of new system, with a lot of new games, a lot of delays. There'll be another Halo. There'll be another Little Big Planet. And then those companies will come out. They'll show logos, be like, we got a new Halo coming out. This is how this works.
Yeah.
Ryan, where do you get your powers from? You must tell us.
Let me
you
point
Halo
out.
Halo madness.
This is not normally how Nintendo works. And that's what kind of struck me with this.
Right,
like,
sure.
Especially to not do this with any more fanfare. It's like they actually gave us a window into the development of these games, which I think is so cool.
What I really appreciated about this Nintendo Direct is they not only gave us a window into the development, but they also kind of said, yo, man, making HD games, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Not that easy.
So to tide you over, we're going to make some cool stuff like what Brian asked for last week.
Yeah, they go, well, it's a little more difficult than expected, so we're going to give you some of your old things you loved. We're going to team up with some of our friends to make some things that you love. Yeah. And we need some help. So
I would challenge that Nintendo never does this in one regard. They've never done it quite like this, and I think this is the best way they've done this.
This is a new format.
If you think about it, like Skyward Sword, they showed a piece of art for, and then we didn't see it for like at least a year. And so they do at Pikmin 3, they've been talking about for almost like 10 years. So they do it sort of, but this, I think, is the best way they've ever done it, which is to say, yeah, okay, we'll acknowledge a new Zelda's coming out, but why don't we talk about it a little bit? And and you know, what's funny is because they're always insistent, like, well, we don't like to talk about things early because we don't want people to rip us off. And I'm just sitting here going, no one makes these games like you do.
Yeah, they don't.
Nobody is going
to
go do what you're doing with Zelda. Like,
well, also, now, even though we don't really know anything about the new Zelda game, we don't know much. Well, we have some insight into what they're thinking about as they're developing. They're going to move away from like the single player, dungeon by dungeon, linear.
What Rich said too, like Nintendo, you don't have to worry about anyone ripping you off. The last people that ripped you off were Darksiders. And they're the only game that wasn't sold in the THQ sale yesterday.
People try to rip them off all the time and don't do very well. Look at PlayStation All-Stars.
Yep.
Look at, what is it, Little Big Planet Karting or whatever.
Look at any other platforming game.
Like, and these things are, you know, and those aren't bad games. They just aren't quite what Nintendo does.
If someone did rip them off, it would be different. How many people have ripped off Mario? How many platformers are there about some dude jumping around on enemies' heads trying to save a princess?
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away from Mario because it's Mario. It's the Mario team.
I will say, every so often, and someone bets them, like, I think that Rayman Legends will turn out better than Mario U, as good as Mario U is.
Sure.
But you know, at the same time, like, that happens.
And like,
that's
worst
okay.
case scenario, oh my god, two amazing platformers.
Yeah, and they're
terrible.
3 months apart, so who cares?
Exactly,
so,
and they both come to the same platform. So.
Yeah.
Coming into this press conference, I didn't really know what to expect. I watched it start to finish, and right now, I still, because the other news outweighed this early stuff.
So much,
like,
yeah.
What are they changing?
This was so funny, because as I was watching this, I was sitting here going, like, 10 minutes in, I'm like, oh god, it's one of these Nintendo Directs.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why? You know, so if there was one piece of feedback.
Well, can you sum up this stuff? Like, what are they announcing?
So part of what they're doing here is just honestly highlighting the fact that Miiverse is so interesting, that, you know, the community of Nintendo players is just interacting with each other directly in a way that they never really have before. Before, you know, if I played a Nintendo game, I had to go to the IGN boards or I had to go somewhere else to talk about this. And now I can do this right here.
Mini DeviantArt on this thing too. Yeah. Like I showed a second ago.
What he's talking about right here is actually kind of cool, because they've started basically doing the equivalent of verified users for like Twitter does, but for Miiverse. And if you're a verified user in Miiverse, which they've just started doing, you're actually allowed to upload YouTube videos or direct link them into Miiverse, and you're also able to provide links. And the idea there is that developers now, in the case here they were showing Mario U, can be like, oh man, here's what we did over at EAD, this is what one of our really good players did, can you do better, stuff like that. And that's kind of cool. It just lets them share and interact with people. So, and the fact that Nintendo itself is doing this with their own developers, I think is really interesting, because it seems like Iwata is increasingly encouraging more openness, more discussion.
Yep.
Within a secret company, they're still very much walled off, but at the same time, like, I've never heard of that, where it's
or like this, like, hey, we've got two system updates coming. They never did this with the Wii.
So this
your
is
Wii
another
would just start turning blue for 6 days straight and be like, shut up.
This is also important here, two system updates are coming. They're going to enable a variety of functionality. The spring update is going to lay the foundation for the virtual console, which will then be fully implemented just after that, probably around April, is sort of what they're alluding to here. The other thing these updates are going to be doing is drastically improving those loading times that have been bugging us so much.
Yep.
Getting in and out of applications will
and
be faster.
They're also going to let you create your own specialty communities within, separate from the official community.
Yeah,
so if you just want, like, if we just want an NVC community where all of our like listeners and us can go and chat about Mario U, like, we can make that happen.
Did they say
now.
Something specific about load times?
Yes.
Oh.
They are rapidly going. Deal. Yeah, absolutely. And he said that it's not just going to be like overnight, like, oh, they're fixed. He's like, we're working on it incrementally, trying to get this ready.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while to get the loading time.
So they also announced some backwards compatible virtual console type housekeeping things, right?
Yeah, and so one of them is that, right there. Yeah.
one of them is that if you already bought these games, you can pay like $1 to buy them again with the screen transfer.
Yeah, that's a thing that people are really confused about. Is they're being angry. Like,
why are they so mad about this?
I don't understand why people are mad about this. The thing
is,
as of now, you can play your old virtual console games that you paid for on your Wii. You can play them on your Wii U. You don't have to buy them again. If you want to choose to buy the service they're providing and pay $1 or $1.50, which is a crazy amount, then you're paying basically to be able to play it on your gamepad and outside of Wii Mode.
Not only play it on your gamepad, but integrate it with Miiverse and have the
save states. Yeah.
Here's, exactly.
Honestly, like, anybody demanding this
But that
thing,
should be like a free update.
No, absolutely not. Do you go into McDonald's?
Well, they're already too expensive.
No.
I buy games on my iPhone that are
$9.
Right. Then what do you do when you buy them on your iPad?
I get free updates for
the
rest
of my life. And I don't personally think $6 is too much to pay for.
Tiny Wings or Angry Birds or anything.
There's an iPhone version and there's an iPad version of many, many apps. I have both of those platforms.
Again, that's a microtransaction bullshit move.
And really, Sam,
okay. Well, either way, they do it. They get away with
Sam,
it.
If it was 99 cents, I'd pay 98 cents.
How spoiled are you that
it's
you
a
think
dollar.
That $7 is too much to pay for Mario World or Link to the Past? A lot of people haven't played these games. That is a really reasonable amount for some of the best games ever made.
But see, here's the thing, Sam. I think they're pricing it based on the value of that software, regardless of who's played them before or who hasn't played them before. And I don't think they can sit there and be like, well, most people have played this before, so we're going to totally make them cheaper. I think that the iOS sort of ecosystem is a weird system, and you see a lot of people just outright failing.
It's cheapening these experiences. Just because someone wants to sell Cutthroat for $1 doesn't mean you have to cheapen these classic games that deserve to be bought at a reasonable price. They deserve to make money off of these.
I mean, Cut the Rope being $1 is not the same as Link to the Past being $1. But I would say this, like, I don't go into McDonald's and demand them to supersize my meals for free.
Like, you do, and but they don't that, do it.
So I guess what I would really like is the new stuff that's there. Like, that's really great. Like, the new, like, the ability to have save states and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's worth paying for.
Yeah, I think. Exactly. It's a new service they're adding, so yeah, it's dumb I think that to expect should, them to just give it to you for free.
Well, I think they should lump like it in with your child. Original cost.
I mean, well, they are, right? So if I
it didn't
go...
cost them anything to reshuffle their game.
Well, absolutely it did.
But that's why you don't have to buy them again. You can still play them if you bought them on your
that's
Wii.
That's the thing, is so they're not restricting you from playing it on Wii U. If you already bought the games on Wii, you can transfer them over and play them just fine. You just won't have that extra functionality, or you just keep them on your Wii and
you
play it on
your
Wii.
You play them as you always played them. You
yeah. And they're fine with that. Or if you really want that extra functionality, pay them $1 and you can upgrade it in there. I mean,
and it's like two for Super Nintendo, is that what it is?
$1.50. $1.50. You know, which is,
see,
which
I mean, all, this is all really dumb and relative to me, because like in 1997, I paid $90 for Mortal Kombat 3. Yeah. Like, video
exactly.
games.
And
video
now
games
we're like,
are the, if you break
oh
it down,
God.
Video games are the biggest waste of money in the world. Like, yeah. We are all throwing money in the garbage every single day playing video games. So if Nintendo's like, hey, you can play Super Metroid with save states on your gamepad for $1 more than you paid for it 4 years ago, I'll be like, okay.
I mean, yeah,
it's $1.
I just,
right?
I
you guys are taking the best examples, but there's a lot of shit on the Virtual
well,
Console.
But, and,
right.
And
it's the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, did you buy all that shit?
Just don't buy it.
No, that's how the market works.
If I want to play my like a 99-cent game, like that should be 99-cent at any place on Earth.
Sam, that's how the market works.
Then
so
I still
want to
play it for
that. If these games aren't worth $6, then you don't buy them.
Well, they're not lowering the prices to adjust for that, though.
No, they're the same price
well,
as they were.
I mean,
they're
that's like going into a bookstore and being like, half of these books suck. Can you knock the prices down on them?
Knock the prices
they
of
do.
All the books down
no,
because
don't.
Some of them
they
suck.
Do.
On used books.
Because,
but like, if you
no,
go on Amazon
like saying,
Kindle and go...
Because Twilight exists, you should charge $1 for A Tale of Two Cities.
They should pay you to read
Twilight.
You know
what I mean?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, some of these games are worth it. Some of these games are not. And some of the games that you bought on Virtual Console the first time, maybe you don't want to upgrade.
You got duped.
Yeah. And, you
I
know
I did.
And that's fine. I just think that,
you
know...
You get duped.
I got duped on some of those games.
I think that it's cool that Nintendo is allowing us to do this versus... I mean, honestly, I expected them to charge us full price and
so
say, oh, you want the Wii U Virtual Console games? You
yep.
buy them full price.
You know
price.
What the
yeah,
most annoying
to
thing
this.
To me is that you can't play those games without being in Wii mode. And this is the only way you can play them on your Wii U without going to Wii mode.
Right.
That's what should be free. You should be able to not have to switch to Wii mode to play like the games.
I mean,
that's
look,
what really
I think,
bugs me. I don't
I
care about the screen thing and all that.
I think
it's they're giving, they're making you like they're like unless you pay us $1, you have to go through all these stupid menus to play. Your games.
Clicking one menu
and keeping on SD card.
It's clicking
that's
one,
the
menu.
Problem.
One
menu.
One menu. I don't know. I think that
it's really
you know
that
it's a big deal. We all complained about it before it came out. Like, oh man, it sucks. You have to keep everything in your SD card. You have to go to Wii mode.
I mean,
can't play any of your thing. Like, we're all not complaining because they're charging us to fix the problem, which they should have
no,
fixed.
No, I mean, I think that, honestly, if I had one complaint about Wii mode, it said it takes forever to load into Wii mode, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe
so
they'll fix that.
If they're able to update those things and start adjusting those, it's a little weird that I have to go into sort of the
that's
Wii...
the weirdest screenshot ever.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second.
It's like her MySpace photos.
You know, I think it's okay. I think it's a reasonable solution to make everything work at once. You know, if you think about how Xbox 360 was attempting to be backwards compatible, it was like, oh, here's one game. Oh, here's three more games. You know, and it just got weird. Backwards
and then halfway through that, they were like, we're done doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm pleased they're giving a solution for people who want the added gamepad functionality but don't want to rebuy all
to,
of those
to be
games
fair, on, the,
really
on the flip side, I will say that Sony has an account system where they say, here's a PSN game. You bought it on
exactly.
this. It's playable on PS3.
And
it's playable on Vita.
Portable.
It'll
yeah.
be on PS4.
Well, as a gamer, I'd say that's my ideal structure.
Sure,
I wish they
sure.
would do that, but they didn't. So
well, I mean,
they
didn't.
Deal with it and don't buy it if you don't want it.
Exactly.
One, here's the thing.
Or buy it twice because you have to get it on your 3DS also.
That's three times for me, Sam.
About 3DS, but so we'll
don't
we'll...
let's not count how many times I bought the original Super Mario Brothers for NES.
I'm actually gonna skip
because it's probably up to 12 now.
Yeah.
Honestly,
we need to talk about this, but I have a theory about 3DS because
we're gonna talk about the 30th anniversary of the Famicom.
We are indeed because it's a lot of cool stuff. But hold on, I want to talk about one thing. We're okay. Come on, there it is. There
go.
It is. There it is. Talk.
Boom.
Okay, just to point this out. So NES, SNES games are the first stuff that's being added to the Wii U Virtual Console, but they're adding a new system, Game Boy Advance. This is weird, right? Because everyone's going, well, why the hell is this not on 3DS? I have a theory, which is that Nintendo is eventually going to enable some sort of functionality that allows us to pull, like download play, like where you download, you know, and be able to pull Virtual Console games onto your 3DS. It's probably like one at a time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because why the hell would you put Game Boy Advance games on Wii U when you already were doing some of them on 3DS. It's a weird strategy.
For ambassadors, and they're very, like, splitting a lot of hairs
now. It seems like a strange strategy, and I have this theory that, like you guys were just talking about, that unified idea is slowly going to come into practice. I mean, I think with Wii, you know, Nintendo was really the first to embrace really doing a lot of that legacy content and, like, having that virtualized, old-school, complete library. Wii was just early. Like, it just, I don't think Nintendo really thought of it.
I think with the 3DS and now the Wii U pretty much prompts you to create a Club Nintendo account when you start it up. So I think that's their first step.
I think
the Club Nintendo thing will be like, oh, we're able to track all your purchases through here. Right now, like, if your system gets stolen or it's lost or something like that, you can call Nintendo customer support. They'll pull up your Club Nintendo account and be like, these are the games that you bought.
Yeah.
So it's getting there. Like, they have the basic infrastructure of something there. They just haven't jumped on it.
Speaking of, everyone make sure you write down your 3DS serial number somewhere, because if they don't include that in the police report, you can't get your games back.
Yeah. Okay, I did not know that.
All right, so
write that down somewhere, people.
We don't have much time left, and we haven't talked about the cool stuff. So we need to switch gears completely. In this announcement, we heard about a new Yoshi game, a new Zelda game, two new Zelda games, kind of, a new Mario 3D game, so like a Galaxy-type game for Wii U, and Smash Brothers. Was also announced to be at E3 along with a new Mario Kart.
Yeah, so I just skipped ahead in case you guys are like, what the hell just happened? I'm skipping ahead. We're just watching.
There's no footage of anything I just mentioned there, but are some screenshots of the HD Wind Waker. And then there's footage of This Is Wonderful 101, right?
Yeah, they showed 101. They did a quick making of video kind of thing for Bayonetta 2.
They showed the new Monolith RPG, which looks epic.
Yeah, and that's another thing. They announced, that's probably called X. And that's potentially a follow-up to Xenoblade. Is that correct?
Right. Okay. I mean,
we broke that down in a rewind. It's pretty clear. I mean, Shulk's basically in the trailer. So I mean,
this is the funny thing. It's like 20 minutes into this Nintendo Direct, they're still talking about Wonderful 101 and Bayonetta, and you're kind of just like, oh man,
no, it's crazy.
You know, they do, I think, need to work a little bit on their pacing.
Fire Emblem is also crossing Shin Megami, which is insanity. Oh, yeah. Fire Emblem crossed Shin Megami.
Let's talk about that. I think that's one of the first things they talk about. That's a crossover game, kind of like Pokemon Conquest, which was a crossover of
Nobunaga's Ambition
and Pokemon. They're kind of extending this crossover idea with
this is fascinating to me because I play both series, obviously. Right, I'm a huge Fire Emblem fan, and I don't see... This will be interesting to see how it works, because Shin Megami is so based on, like, sort of the demons and the devils.
It's like more like a first-person kind of spooky, creepy RPG.
Yeah, it's a different kind of RPG, but...
Audrey, if they were able to pull off the Jetsons and the Flintstones meeting in a cartoon one day, then anything is possible.
So based
you
on Conquest,
my mind.
They're probably going to take those characters and put them in a strategy game, right? That's probably what they're going to do.
I don't know. I mean,
they'll probably fuse it almost like they did with Pokemon, where it'd be sort of a strategy game, but then you go into a different kind of gameplay. A lot of like Project Cross Zone when you go into battles, if I had to guess.
Something interesting. I mean, just at least on this teaser, which might just be a teaser, but they're showing a bunch of characters from across the span.
Yeah, anyone who's
of Fire
a Fire Emblem,
Emblem
fan, like there's Ike, there's Marth from the original game, there's Prince of Frame, Erica,
Smash Brothers characters.
All kinds of characters. otherwise known as Smash characters.
A few of the guys they showed right at the end there were Krom and Marth from Awakening.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing I will say about this. I'm really excited that Nintendo's just doing these partnerships in general. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It results in crazy, quirky stuff like, you know, Shin Megami and Fire Emblem, but it also, you know, who knows? I said this in a 1UP podcast, but maybe someday we'll get like Mega Man cross Metroid or something.
Ninja Gaiden Metroid.
Yeah.
We always said this sort of had to happen as they moved into the HD development cycle and development got bigger and bigger. They needed to bring in other talent. And this it looks like exactly what they're doing. They're bringing Atlas.
This was also on our wish list,
Platinum
I think,
Games.
As we were to start talking about the stuff.
All these other third-party companies coming in, and it's resulting in some really cool things, it looks
like. So from here, he goes into announcing another new game, right?
Let's talk about Yoshi real quick. This is before Fire Emblem, but just real quick. It's apparently by Goodfeel and the just general Kirby Epic Yarn guys. Mm-hmm. It's being watched over by... Well, here it says in text, but Tezuka, who made Yoshi's Story and Yoshi's Island, is involved supervising this. I think it looks gorgeous. I'm excited. I mean, Kirby's Epic Yarn was awesome looking. It just wasn't very hard.
It was a great challenge.
So here's hoping. I mean, Nintendo seems to be going that way. You look at challenge mode with Mario U, you look at the challenge packs for Mario 2 on 3DS, and Tezuka was watching over those, so I think he really is starting to say, oh, you know, we need to make
this
little
big direction planet. They go with it, because sometimes some of the Yoshi games, like the one for DS, like just not much difficulty level. It's just more about collecting and enjoying the level. But we'll see.
I mean, even if it's exactly like Kirby's Epic Yarn, I think people were thrilled with that game. I know people that were huge fans of it.
I loved that game. It was super easy, and so that was difficult for me to really get around. But at the same time, like, it's just cool looking.
It's funny how Yoshi's always been paired with a style like this. Like in Yoshi's Island, it's like the crayon style. It makes sense. Like, this is something that I wouldn't have been able to predict. Using my amazing powers.
That was the funny thing, is we heard a...
But it makes total sense.
We heard a rumor about this a month or two ago. But,
don't know the name of it.
We don't know the name,
but exactly. But here's the rumor. Go ahead.
It's just that we heard a title called, I think it was Yoshi's Island, and Yoshi's so we were Land. All like, Yoshi's Land, was it?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And what it was, at that point, it was like somebody had gotten to the developer menu of the Wii U console right when it came out and saw like a list, and it was like, the Resident Evil.
Yeah, I think it was a list of Mario hubs that were going U, to be Miiverse then, pages.
Yeah.
And one of them was Yoshi. That what it was? One of them was Resident Evil, yeah.
Okay, those were announced, and Yoshi Land was one of them.
We'll talk real briefly about this. He brings up the idea of new titles for Nintendo. We're skipping around a lot right now. This is actually before Yoshi and Shin Megami. He basically just name drops. He goes... I think first is EAD Tokyo is working on a new Mario 3D action game. Same guys that did Galaxy 1, 2, and 3D Land. I'm super excited for that. This is just like amazing pedigree from these guys.
How will they step it up? I'm so curious. Like, I have a feeling they built the Wii U for this game. I want to know what they do with it.
As much as I enjoyed Wii in general, Galaxy took such a great advantage of Wii. And it was like probably the first game where I'm like, that's why I have this. That's why this system really is cool. Sure. It used the controller in a way that was sensible, too.
It's so pretty. And I just can't wait to see what this looks like. If you can have, a galaxy-like landscape that just goes as far as the eye can see.
Honestly, I'm just going to say this right now because I saw some of this reaction on Twitter. Like, the dismissal of a new EAD Tokyo Mario is stupid. Like, the three games they showed on there were some of the best games every single year they came out, arguably the best game in the years they came out.
Who the hell is dismissing that?
It didn't matter that it has Mario.
Oh, it's another Mario game. Yeah, fuck off.
I mean, yeah, look at the 3D Land. That's still probably the best 3DS game,
those are three of the best Mario games.
The game they made before that, Super Mario Galaxy 2, the highest rated game of all time. Look it up. You know?
And I didn't think Mario 3D Land was going to be amazing, and it was. I mean, it's just like,
we were impressed when we first played it, but then when we actually saw the finished product,
and they want to challenge themselves to make like a new type of Mario game. That's what they think about all the time.
I trust them. It's so good because Galaxy 1 and 2, yes, those two are derivative of 2 is derivative of 1, obviously, but 3D Land is just a totally different type of experience
There's never been a Mario game like that. It's one of my favorite.
And the jump
Mario
from Sunshine
ever.
To Galaxy, if we get anything resembling that jump, it's going to be mind-blowing.
I mean, 3D Mario games have been some of the most diverse, while still having 3D platforming in them, such a diverse representation
of
that genre.
The only 3D platforming that's ever really been successful, I'd like to remind you. So it's like, time we get one, it's not like you can go out and be like, oh, I've played this on so many other consoles already. You've played a bunch of Mario games.
Mario is an entity.
They're all great.
Is in a lot of places, but the experiences between the different types of Mario franchises are so radically different that it honestly like brings out this like inherent loathing in me when someone's like, oh, all Mario games are the same. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're an idiot. Real quick, Mario Kart. I think this franchise is a little more up and down certainly than 3D Mario games.
I'm always excited right when they come out, but they never hold me like they used
to.
Maybe I'm just tired of this series.
It depends on the game, I think. Like 7, I thought was a really phenomenal effort.
7 was great.
Whereas
was great,
Wii, I was sort of like, eh. Mm-hmm. Double Dash,
honestly, for me, I think for my lifestyle, Double Dash. A portable game like that works better just for me because I'm always on the go. I'm at home playing a game, it's usually for work, so it's better to just pick up a quick online game and then be done with it.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll do a crossover with 3DS?
I would love to see more 3DS Wii U interaction in a seamless way, like Monster Hunter's doing, where you just maybe download
Pac-Man
a quick application.
Versus you, Rich, is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I want. Where are my link cables?
How about an Animal Crossing that speaks to both platforms?
Stuff like that.
What if you could use the game gamepad, one person could race using that, and one person could race using the big screen. So at least you both have a screen in your own house,
and we know,
instead of split screen.
We also,
or five players, which is cool too.
This is, by the way, the worst use of the gamepad in video game history. this went on for like 3 minutes.
You know, Altani, you mentioned Animal Crossing.
Brian's talking about the announcement of Wii Party.
Wii U Party.
Wii U Party.
Yeah. I mean,
which shows
fine.
People throwing dice by shaking.
You know what's funny is by the time they had shown this, I was like, fine. You guys get your Wii U Party. Yeah. That's fine.
Get your money, whatever you need.
You mentioned Animal Crossing. I mean, one thing to reiterate is that we know the 3DS can, you know, conceivably link up with Wii U, like directly as a controller. Like, what if you can play your Animal Crossing game, your 3DS game, on your TV using Wii U? Maybe, you know, I don't know. There's lots of options.
And then fold
there.
It and go and take it on
this,
the train.
This thing's funny. They're doing like this Twister thing, and all these idiots are like keeping their controllers in the same place, so it makes it hard. It's like, just move your controllers, guys.
Yeah.
This won't be as hard if you move your controllers.
So there's also Wii U Party. That's another game that was announced. We don't know much about it. It's a sequel to Wii Party.
Yeah,
it looks just like Mario Party.
We should bring up Smash Brothers, a brief update, just saying that they're going to debut its
screens.
He called them screens. I don't know if that means footage or just literally screenshots, but they'll be at E3. So Mario Kart, Mario, and Smash Brothers at E3 at the minimum.
That's great.
Already.
That's
good.
They also said Mario, the new 3D Mario.
3D Mario.
Okay.
And playable.
Fantastic.
Kart and Mario playable.
Unbelievable.
That's good.
This is already the most exciting E3.
And you know what's funny is we critiqued Nintendo heavily for last year saying Pikmin and Mario U or new Mario U would be at the show. Mm-hmm. And we're like, man, you revealed everything. That sucks. But I think there's a strong, vast difference between knowing a 2D Mario game is at E3. Because I know exactly what that is, right? Whereas 3D Mario, what is that?
I don't know. There was another 2D Mario game coming out the same year.
Same thing,
so
too.
The excitement for that was a weird situation.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I know exactly what a 2D Mario is going to be. All
so what we have left is a couple of Zeldas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And here's
I just want to point this out.
Zelda series producer Eiji Onuma talking about...
Real quick, I know this is hilarious and stupid, but Onuma is wearing a very rare, very expensive Zelda shirt that is in Japan and costs a shit ton of money, and you cannot buy it anymore. It's this, like, Uber printing company. I tried to buy one. It's it's really expensive.
That's great.
I wonder how he got one. You should have worked on the Zelda franchise.
He looks like an 18-year-old with gray hair. It's kind of amazing.
He's like a cool dad.
Yeah.
It's been only 1 year since the 25th anniversary of Zelda. That
don't let your dad hear that.
So let me
recap what he's talking about, because he does this, like, they do this crazy dual texting. Basically, Onuma comes out and says, we're still very early on a new Zelda game. We can't really show it to you. He does mention that they've been doing a lot of HD prototypes of different types of Zelda styles. They said that, like, they basically have been going back, finding all the different Zelda art styles over the years and trying them in HD. And he basically says...
And we know that there's the concept trailer that we played at E3 that's not... That's not the new style.
Seemingly, it's been it's something else now. It's something different. And he says,
an influence. But that's what he's saying. And Wind Waker is clearly an influence.
Basically,
as well.
During their experimentation with which Zelda style to bring into HD, they were playing with the Wind Waker, and they were like, "Well, heck, let's just release Wind Waker HD."
And it
while
sounds
people
like
people are waiting.
And I think
they must have handed it off to another team, because that game looks so different. The Wind Waker, different shadows.
It's also really early. It's very different, cel shaded. It seems to be out. It's more
it's
of like
out
a
this fall, correct?
Yeah, this fall.
So
for
it
Wind
looks
Waker.
Like a lot of work went into it, and they said there will be other changes, which I'm really curious about. Will it be a master quest?
This looks like concept art to me, but that is a Wind Waker screenshot, and that is awesome. And I know a lot of people are sort of like bemoaning the loss of the cel shaded look, which has aged incredibly well.
I think just the screenshots don't show off the cel shading enough, but they're trying to show off lighting. I mean, you can see the shadow and the bloom. Like, when we get to see this game, I bet it'll look a lot more cartoony than you think it's going to look.
I think so.
And we still haven't seen it in motion, we've seen five
screenshots.
That'll make a huge difference.
Yeah. Like, it could look like a freaking Miyazaki film. You're seeing backgrounds. You're
honestly
not seeing foregrounds.
Yeah. That looks awesome. Yeah. That looks like a painting. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, like...
So cool.
I emailed Nintendo later, and I was like, that's art, right? And they're like, no, that's a screenshot. I'm like, that's so cool. Like, and honestly... You can still go play your old GameCube Wind Waker
like
if
mist.
You want it. So I think that looks awesome.
Yeah,
I'm
really
excited.
Cool.
I mean, people are sort of saying that doesn't look as cel-shaded as it should be.
It's fine. Relax.
Yeah, exactly.
Call your mother. Tell her you love her.
And I just want to – that's like the dream of animators, is to come up with a style that looks like that awesomely shaded with 2D, you know, kind
and
of drawing.
And I wouldn't
drawing.
Be surprised to see it subtly evolve from
it
there
just
anyway.
Looks fantastic.
I think it looks great.
Look at the shadows. I mean, it's just so cool. There's a shot of Link and Tetra – where it's like their little, look at their little shadows are fully rendered there.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. Before it used so to be cool. Little circles.
With a day-night cycle, that's going to be awesome.
I'm excited. So I think the one thing, and I think Iwata lists it off here in a second, but they're not just redoing the visuals in HD and actually upgrading it. They're actually going to be fine-tuning the game experience, which I have a feeling might mean, you know, adjusting how you control sailing, maybe you know, adjust
quick travel bigger.
Yeah, quick travel or something. Maybe, you know, adjusting some of that to make the game a little more fluid, because there, you know, there were some complaints about Wind Waker back in the day, so now's their chance to kind of tinker with it if they want to. You can also play entirely on the gamepad, and there's, I think Iwata says it here in a second, but, and you can also get into Miiverse too, which was cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, there's gonna be some amazing art in that page.
Like, that is effort. That's what I like about that. They're not just be like, hey, here's it, it's an HD, give us $50. They're like, you know, no, we're gonna.
And as we talked about last podcast, like, this is the Zelda I want to play again, and I want to right now. Like, this is the one I'm interested in, like, revisiting. I can't do it on GameCube. I don't like playing it on GameCube.
Me neither. Sure. But they did talk about making some minor tweaks. So it'd be really cool if they did little things like maybe added more warp points all around the ocean.
Exactly.
Make the Triforce collecting stuff easier. Just general map navigation.
You know what I want? Yeah. So back
mirror
in the
whole world.
Back in the day, we found out that they cut two dungeons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bring those dungeons back.
Yes, that would be awesome.
That's on my wish list, Nintendo. Do it.
That would be awesome.
You know what?
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah.
There's only four in the whole game,
I know,
too.
Exactly.
So, like, why?
Exactly.
Why
they just cut them, and it's sad.
One of the coolest things in Wind Waker for people who haven't played it is I think when you beat the game, you get this, or you have this camera, and you can go back and replay it again.
You can also play as him in his pajamas, right?
Yeah, and you can take pictures of every boss and enemy and character in the game, and they get transformed into figurines, and you have this like awesome toy gallery. With has like hundreds of all the things you've taken pictures of. Some of them you can only get once because it like flat a boss changes for a second.
So hard to get them all.
So now if they have like the Wii U and you're using it as a camera, it could be pretty cool to do stuff like that. So
Here's one other thing I would love. So they're talking about the new Zelda. It's going to take a while because they have to rethink the conventions of Zelda. Let's talk about that in a second. But I would love it if on the way to waiting for this new Zelda, they were able to revisit Twilight Princess and maybe even Skyward Sword and do this kind of treatment with them.
Absolutely.
Go farm it out to someone like Grezzo. I would gladly replay those games in HD.
Sure, I had a blast playing Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I mean, and even that
Twilight.
Oh, I loved playing that on 3DS.
If you've seen Twilight or Skyward, play it on a dolphin. It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
yeah. You see,
Twilight looks good too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and I mean, like Skyward Sword is so new that, you know, maybe they don't adjust that. Maybe they should re-release it for like $20, $30 or something like that in HD. But I would love to see them revisit Twilight, fine-tune the opening a little bit, get that really short and concise, and let you get out into the world, because that game is awesome once you're
always tell people that once you get past the first 2.5 hours, it's one of the best Zelda games.
Yeah, it just has this really strange slow opening with stuff that really doesn't matter.
It's a lot of people don't get past that opening. Like, I swear, it's an amazing game.
And I don't like the alternate world in that game. It's like, I mean, I like the game a lot. I never liked that version of the alternate world. I like alternate world Zelda games, and it's the same thing for Metroid Prime 2 for me. Like,
I always felt
trapped in another one. I just wanted to get out of it. I
you
didn't want
to
be
the
dog.
Regular world and
I just
want
to like explore and do fun stuff, and it just takes a little long to get there. So that made me like angry every time I went.
It seamless like it's in A Link to the Past or something.
Yeah, like A Link to the Past is like amazing how it handles two worlds.
So
yeah.
Before we get to X, let's talk about this, because I think this is worth talking about at least for a second, which is
fascinating.
Numa basically openly says that with Skyward Sword, we were trying to do this. We didn't get as far as we wanted to. And he mentioned this to us in interviews, too. And he's like, we're trying to redo what it means to be Zelda. And you can see it right there on the screen. But
the things he mentioned.
The two examples he gives, right, are completing dungeons in the same order, like in a set order.
That second one scares me.
See, you know what they're making.
Enuma, are you
World
listening?
World of Zelda Craft.
I don't want co-op Zelda. Don't do it, buddy.
You don't want four
Love
links?
Audrey.
What if you can play as Navi?
Well, here's
the
thing.
It was hard getting three people together.
Did anybody ever play Wind Waker with a second player using a Game Boy Advance as Tingle?
Oh,
the
Tingle
Raider.
Because
it was
awesome. Yes, it was really fun.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that it couldn't be fun, but I don't want that to be the point. It's a single-player experience. You can have co-op elements or even multiplayer elements, whatever, but make... the basic experience still single player.
So play by yourself doesn't necessarily mean it won't still be a major single player experience, right? It can mean that somebody's there with a single
team. I want to get to the end of this game and it's like Zelda's standing there and there's like 18 links and they're like,
here's the thought.
Yeah, it could go that way.
Here's the thought. Like, what if, and he's indicated maybe they won't do this, but what if you play with the Wii Remote and Nunchuck Skyward Sword style, although he said they might go back to traditional controls, and then someone has the gamepad and they're doing Tingle Tuner type stuff.
That would be fine. You know? I just don't want them to RE5 my favorite franchise.
No, I don't think they will.
Like with Zelda being the co-op character.
Yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
It would be kind of interesting if they really embraced the sort of like legend aspect of Zelda, mm-hmm. because you know we know now there are multiple links and all throughout mm-hmm. the ages, mm-hmm. and they could maybe implement that somehow in some sort of journey-esque style, so other people playing are like sort of
appear alongside you, within your world stuff, ghostly
spirits or something like
that. Really cool.
I think that could be interesting. So
I'm not totally against playing a Zelda game that has like a co-op or dungeon or something like that, where I'm playing with somebody, and as long as it's not like two links side by side.
Right.
I see what you're saying,
really,
Rich, where there's like sort of like a generational like
four sword style. So like I don't want four swords in 3D for sure. Like that would be really depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's an arcade game, you know?
If that's like a separate mode,
exactly.
It's a bubblegum game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it could be kind of cool. Or like, what if you go into a town as Link and you see a note left by an ancestor of yours, mm-hmm. and it's the old Link or something like that. That could be kind of interesting, you know?
No, I like that. The Dark Souls version of Zelda would be really cool. The Journey version of Zelda would be really cool.
Exactly. Yeah. You could really embrace that because they never had before.
Nintendo Land, in the Zelda minigame, they did that thing where you die and then you go up and you find the hearts left and the skeleton left by your old corpse.
That's like the zombie
skeletons.
U influence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which
I want
pretty
dead
cool.
Link bodies everywhere. Yes. Just piled up in corners.
All of Hyrule Field is full of corpses.
Wish list to Nintendo. We're making our new wish list.
No co-op in
the let's get over to X, I think. I think we've talked about everything. I mean, guys, don't forget, Zelda's like years away, so we'll probably be talking about it again at some point.
Yeah.
Let me fast forward over to X here. So this is Monolith Soft
and
Nintendo.
We're calling it X for lack of an
official
title. Show an X.
They won't even acknowledge that this is clearly a Xenoblade Chronicles
sequel. I don't think
Brian
or I played Xenoblade.
Yeah, again, Rich and I did a Rewind Theater, you can see on the site, but it's pretty much clearly a Xeno game. I mean, it has, if you can go to...
Is Xenoblade the first in that series?
Xenoblade Chronicles is the one that just came out on Wii.
Is that the first one in that series, though? Has there been, like, an older Japanese series?
Well,
this is hard to explain.
It's hard to explain, because it's sort of set in the same world as the Xenogears series, but they've never...
Xenogears, okay.
Yeah, they've never
Xenogears
found a way
is Square.
To... Yeah, exactly. So they haven't... They can't really officially connect
without
them.
Getting sued.
It's that
really
same kind
story.
Of, like, tech and Monster Hunter... Like,
exactly. Xenogears is basically
aesthetic.
The same thing, but with mechs.
Okay.
Which is cool. But this has mechs, and if you see at the very end of the trailer, there's Spin Red X.
Mm-hmm. The graphics look very Monster Hunter to me. I mean, I don't know if that's...
It looks just like the one from the cover.
It looks a lot like Monster Hunter, but also, honestly, just Xenoblade.
Yeah. So this is what Xenoblade looked like.
Yeah. And like we said, in just a second, you'll see a blonde guy who, if you put him next to a picture of Shulk from Xenoblade Chronicles, he looks like a slightly older version of him. Same hair, same eyes, same brow.
This is cool.
Oh my god, mechs versus robots?
Transforming
and dinosaurs. Mechs versus
dinosaurs? I want this.
Yeah. I mean,
and speeder bikes? And
transforms in the middle.
Sorry. I just turned five for a second.
All things dinosaur on IGN.
So,
yes.
the guy they just showed, that is almost certainly
for all
Shulk.
Things dinosaur, keep it locked.
Right?
Executive director Takashi-san, that is the director of Xenoblade Chronicles. It keeps the same mech sort of fantasy sci-fi stuff that
similar
Xenoblade
vistas,
does. Boom,
large,
there's the X. I mean, this is something related to Xenoblade
it's a Xeno
Chronicles.
Game. They just haven't come out.
And
with
anybody
yet.
That played through Chronicles will tell you it's one of the best RPGs of the past generation.
Well, the exciting thing for me is that what
won our
Xenoblade
Game of the Year for Wii last year.
Yeah, what Xenoblade Chronicles did on the Wii was so impressive in scope. Like it was almost. Straining.
It was just
with
a couple years too later.
So to
too
see,
late, you know.
See what they could do with an actual HD system. I can't even imagine the huge environment.
And that already looks pretty.
So, guys, I see Ron Gilbert outside waiting to come in and do another podcast.
We should let Ron in.
Podcast Beyond this week has Ron Gilbert on it. So
go buy his
the
game,
lobby.
The Cave, on Wii U. It's really
it's
fun.
It's really good. It's on Wii U.
It doesn't feature off gamepads.
It doesn't.
Though.
But just play it anyway.
Sad.
Just shut up.
It's fun to play.
It's been implemented better.
Brian and I are both playing. It's great. Go get the Cave.
Cool.
It's awesome.
All right.
That's it.
Go.
So here, that's the new games, and that's all the new
Nintendo
updates.
Fans,
I don't know what else
hope.
To say. Yeah, we have hope now. Yeah. It's been a fun week.
We'll talk more soon.
Maybe there'll be a 3DS one next week.
That'd be cool. He did hint at 3DS and third-party ones coming. All right, we'll see you guys later.
All
right, bye-bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.